When I was a kid, there was a rule of thumb in my school, a Catholic school, especially when it came to religion class. And it went something like this. When in doubt, the answer is always Jesus. And that served me pretty well. It was much easier than in math class where, if you can imagine this, boys and girls, my mother was my teacher. And that little adage, the answer is always Jesus, served me well into high school. But I found that there are a few limits to when it's useful. Consider this, for example. If the season of Advent were made into a movie, who would be cast in its starring role? Now, if the answer is always Jesus, I don't think that's right. Because each year, and especially this year, as we read the Gospel of Luke, the readings focus us on John the Baptist, not on Jesus. John makes his first appearance this week, today. And spoiler alert, he'll be back again next week, and the week after that. Now, before any of the lawyers or theologians present object, let me make one qualification. No, we cannot understand John the Baptist apart from the Christ he announced. And so, in a certain sense, the answer is always Jesus. But I think that if we treat John as a kind of opening act for Christ, we just might miss out on the spiritual challenge and the spiritual fruit that the Advent season wishes to give us. In the passage from Luke's Gospel that I just read, we're told that the Word of God comes to John in the desert. Now, Luke says this after listing a long list of a bunch of other people who are people much more impressive than John. The Word of God might have come to them. You may remember me stumbling over a few of the names. Tiberius Caesar, who was the emperor, who was worshipped as a god. Pontius Pilate, who will come back later in the story, the local Roman governor. Herod, his brother Philip. Or even the priests, Annas and Caiaphas. No. The Word of God came to a person and to a place that were about as insignificant as you could possibly imagine. John in a desert. John in the gospel today is portrayed as a prophet. And in the casual way we talk about prophets and about prophecy when we do, we tend to mean a person who's predicting something in the far distant future, like when we call a relative or a colleague a prophet of doom. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. And indeed, that's part of what a prophet does, including John the Baptist. Today, he recycles the prophecy of Isaiah, saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." And it's clearly oriented towards something that's on its way, but not yet arrived. The heart of prophecy, however, is not the future. It is the present. It is here and it is now. Though John the Baptist is foretelling the coming Messiah, his concern was how his hearers were living, day to day, moment by moment. You'll hear the same concern from John next weekend. His message to us today is about valleys being filled and mountains and hills being made low. He tells us, to make a way that is straight, that is smooth for the Lord. I am a jogger. I hate hills. I hate valleys. I like flat ground. So does Jesus. In these weeks of Advent, we are saying and we are singing, "Come, Lord Jesus." And the question that John's prophecy asks of us is, well, what has to go if the Lord is to come more fully into my life, into your life? The list of candidates is as long as it is familiar. old resentments and grudges, fears and anxieties about stuff that is big and small, addictive behavior, toxic shame, the need for control or success or perfection. Think of it this way. What would Jesus have to climb over or cut through to get to me? How can I start making the rough way smooth? With John the Baptist, there is always a searing urgency about the present moment. And that can make him very, very hard for us to hear, for me to hear, because we've never been so good at diverting ourselves from what we are doing here and now. The poet T.S. Eliot wrote about those who are distracted from distraction by distraction. That was 1936, long before we got really good at changing our experience of the present moment with things like air conditioning, smartphones, Alexa, Tinder, Instagram, Twitter, the list goes on. It was long before we started asking ourselves, why just be where I am, where I can be there and somewhere else? John the Baptist is inviting us to something this Advent and every Advent. And it's not to move to the desert and eat locusts or wild honey, but if you want to, go right ahead. It's to remember that this is the moment of God's coming. This is the moment of God's advent. The Word of God comes in this small and seemingly insignificant moment, in this small and seemingly insignificant place, in our small and seemingly insignificant lives. That is where we can start making the Lord's way straight, in our hearts, in our homes, in our families, and in our church. For that is where the Lord is coming, and when, here, now, always. This is his advent. The least we can do is be there.